Okay, today's daf. Sorry? Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Vav. We are holding on daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We are mostly down the page in daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We're just going to go back to revisit that case that we closed with yesterday of the 100 days and the 90 days and the 80 days and the 70 days. Could be a little confusing, so we're going to go back to discuss how it could be that when you have someone who rents a cow from somebody else, that it's going to turn out that the owner is going to owe the renter multiple cows at the end of the arrangement. Then the Gemara is going to have cases where by a case of a socher that gave it over to a shoel that lent it out to someone else, cases where both the socher and the shoel are going to be chayiv karban chatos, cases where both the shoel and the socher are going to be chayiv karban asham, cases where one is chayiv chatos, the other in asham, and vice versa. And it's all based on the following premise, that when one takes a shvua and he lies in his shvua, so it depends on what he had accomplished or intended to accomplish with that lie. If he had intended to pater himself from mammon, to get himself out of a payment, he would be chayiv karban chatos, he would be chayiv karban asham. If he had no intention or ability to exempt himself from payment with that false shvua, then he'd be chayiv karban chatos. So we're going to see that there are some permutations where both the shoel and the socher are chayiv the same karban, some where they're chayiv a different karban. So Baruch Hashem will discuss that in the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas in general about a shomer shemasa l'shomer. I trust you to watch my item for me, and you then in turn give it to someone else and entrust somebody else with that item. Does it matter if it's a shomer chinam gives it to a shomer sachar, a shomer sachar gives it to a shomer chinam? The Gemara is going to have three rayas in that machlokas whether a shomer shemasa l'shomer is chayiv or pater. Then in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss a case where you didn't properly lock up an animal, so you were totally poshea with the animal, but then it was mesa kedarka. It didn't die as a result of your lack of shmira directly. It just died kedarka. So we're going to have a machlokas about that, and we're going to discuss whether that is related to the general machlokas of tchilasu b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, that if you are negligent initially and then ultimately an ones occurs, so are you considered to be to be chayiv or pater in that case? So let's go back to about 10-12 lines before the end of the page, maybe even more than that. Amr Rabbi Zera. So Amr Rabbi on Daf Lamed Hei Beis. Amr Rabbi Zera. Pam Shabbayl Mishalman Kama Paros LaSocher. Sometimes the owner is going to owe many cows to the renter. How does that happen? If anything, you would think the renter is the one that is going to bear some responsibility to pay for cows to the owner. How does it work in the reverse? Hey Chidami. Here's the case. Let's assume all of this happens on one day, that the renter rents the cow from the owner, Shimon rents the cow from Reuven for 100 days. That's the agreement. And then Reuven says, you know what, I could really use the cow right now. I know that I rented it out to you and I accepted payment for a 100-day rental. Can I borrow it from you? V'hadar shayli minei tishin yome. So I'd like to borrow it for 90 days. So then what's the renter getting out of it? He's getting days 90 through 100. For the next 90 days, the owner is still going to be using it, but as a borrower. Hadar agra minei timnin yome. Then Shimon says, but you know what? I could still really use it for the next 80 days. So why don't I rent it from you, even though I already loaned it to you, so you're a borrower, but let me rent it from you for the next 80 days. So I'll have it for days 1 through 80. You, the owner, will have it back for days 80 through 90. I, the renter, will have it back for days 90 through 100. Okay, v'hadar shayli minei shivin yom. And then the owner says, but you know what? For the next 70 days, I can really use it. So he borrows it back from him for 70 days. So now the owner is going to have it as a borrower for days 1 through 70. The renter is going to have it 70 through 80. The owner is going to get it back days 80 through 90. And the renter is going to get it back days 90 through 100. And then umesa betoch yumesha elasa, it dies within the first 70 days. So there's a double borrowing that happened. The owner is not only the owner, he's a borrower twice on the item, because he accepted two rental payments for it. He accepted a rental payment for the first 100 days, and he accepted a rental payment for the 80 days, and then he borrowed from off of both of those rentals. So the akol sheilu v'sheilu mechayev chad d'para. So certainly, if you borrow two separate cows from two separate people, you would certainly be chayev if something happens to the cow. You'd be chayev separately for each cow that you borrow. Well, over here it's the same cow, but it's multiple borrowings. So your chayev is separate cow you have to pay for a separate cow for each borrowing that you did. And in addition to that, you're also going to need to provide a cow for the person to have for days 90 through 100 and for days 70 through 80, because he's supposed to, that's supposed to be part of his rental. He says, I don't get it. You're giving two cows plus 20 days of a cow. It's one cow. I love Afka. It just kept on going back and forth. The agreement kept on going back and forth. How could you be chayv so many times? Afka mischiris vayla l'sheila. Afka mishela vayla l'schiris. Look, if the cow is alive, you could say, yeah, it's one cow, so it's just going back and forth, and that would be fine. But the cow's dead, so now it's all about transactions. It's all about dinei mamonos. It's all about what he owed him. Mar Rav Ashi Amar Ein Lo Aleihen Ela Shtei Paros Chada De Sheila VeChada De Schiros Shum Sheila Achasi VeShum Schiros Achasi. He only owes him two cows, meaning he's got to pay him for the fact that he was a borrower and a cow died. He's a borrower twice. Doesn't matter. He pays him once for the fact that he's a borrower, but he also has to provide a cow that will be usable for days 90 through 100 and days 70 through 80, because that was just part of the rental agreement. The she'ela kani legamri, so the cow that I give you for my she'ela, that's going to be yours entirely, because the animal died while I was a borrower, so I'm going to have to give you a cow, not two, but a cow for that. And the schirus, but you may schirus, and there's going to be another cow that you're going to be able to use for days 70 through 80 and for days 90 through 100, and then you're going to give it back to me as a fulfillment of the schirus agreement. Period. Amra Birmia. Pa'amim sheshneim b'chatas. Going back to the case of a guy who rents something and then lends it out to somebody else. So sometimes both the renter and the lender and the borrower are going to be chayav a korban chatas if they both swear. Assuming they both swear falsely, sometimes they're both going to be chayav a korban chatas. Pa'amim sheshneim ba'asham. Sometimes they're both going to be chayav a korban asham. Pa'amim shasocha b'chatas v'shoal ba'asham. Sometimes you could have a case, and the Gemara is going to elaborate how each of these happen. Sometimes the socher is going to be chayv a korban chatos for his false shavua, and the shoal is going to be chayv a korban asham for his false shavua. Pamsha socher ba asham a shoal b'chatos, and sometimes the socher is going to be chayv an asham, and the shoal is going to be chayv a chatos. Haketzad. So how does this work? How do you have all these different permutations? If two guys are swearing falsely, shouldn't they both get the same punishment? How does this work out? So the rule is as follows, and then it will all fall into place. Kfiras mamon asham. If I tell you something that's a false shavua and it's going to get me out of having to pay, I'm chayv a korban asham for that false shavua. If the shavua would have gotten me out of a payment, then the rule is you chayv a korban asham. If I take a false shavua, but it wasn't going to really exempt me from anything anyway, it was just that I'm lying, I'm lying, but then I'm going to be chayv a korban chatos, not a korban asham. So essentially, all we have to do to plug in the different permutations is figure out when the shoal and the socha could both be exempting themselves from money, then they're both going to be chayv an asham. When in their false shavua they're not going to be exempting themselves from money, they're both going to be chayv a chatos. When it's one and one, so then it'll be one and one. Pam shashneim b'chatos, how could it be that they're both chayv a korban chatos? So now, there are two ways that their false shavua will not exempt them from money. One way it won't exempt them from money is if they were pater anyway, so they don't need their shavua. Their shavua doesn't add anything. The other way it's not going to exempt them from money is if they were chayiv without their shavua, but even if we would accept their shavua, they'd still be chayiv. Their shavua doesn't help them. So in either of those situations, you'd have a shavua that was false and doesn't really do anything, doesn't exempt them from money. That would be a bitweis vasayim where they're only chayiv a korban chatos. What's the case that they're shneim b'chatos? Kigon, shemesa kedarka. What really happened to the animal? It died kedarka. Va'amru, and they claimed ne'ensa. They claimed that it was an onus that occurred. So socher debein kach. The socher, either way, whether it was mesa kedarka, whether it was an ones, a socher doesn't have to pay for either of those things. So whether the reality was true or whether his shavua was true, he was anyway not going to have to pay. So his shavua was worthless. He wasn't going to accomplish anything anyway. So that's why it's chayv a korban chatos. It's tam a bito is vasayim. Shoel, but the borrower, the benkach benkach yuve, a shoel is chayv a mesa kedarka. He's chayiv anones, so he was going to be chayiv no matter what. So he too is only going to be chayiv a chatos for his shavua, because his shavua wouldn't have helped him anyway. When is it that both the socher and the shol are going to be chayiv a karban asham? Kigon shenignava va'amru meisam achmas malacha. Let's say what really happened was the animal was stolen, and they're lying and they're claiming that it was meisam achmas malacha. So to zervayu kakafri mamona. Now both of them are trying to say a shavua that's going to get them out of money because meisam achmas malacha even a shoel is pater from. So both of them would have been chayiv because nignava is something that both a socher and a shoel are chayiv for. Mesa machmas malacha is something that both a shoel and a socher are potter from. So they both try to lie and get themselves out of a payment. They really are chayiv because it was nignava, and they're trying to potter themselves with the shvua. So when they're caught in that lie, they're both chayiv a karban asham. And sometimes socher bechatos for shoel biyasham. The socher is going to be chayiv a chatos because he didn't accomplish anything with the shvua, and the shoel is going to be chayiv an asham kigon shemesa kedarka. Let's say it died kedarka, so the socher was potter anyway. Va'amru mesa machmas malacha, and they're claiming that it was mesa machmas malacha. So the socher deben kach uben kach miftar potter chayiv bechatos. The socher wasn't going to make a difference. He was potter whether it was mesa kedarka or mesa machmas doesn't make a difference. What actually happened? He's going to be potter anyway whether it was mesa kedarka or mesa machmas malacha. So for him, it's just a biter svasayim. Shoel de mechayiv b'mesa kedarka v'kapater nafshe b'mesa machmas malacha. But if the shoel, who would have been chayiv, had the truth come out that it was mesa kedarka, but he lied and he told the shavua that it was mesa machmas malacha to get him off the hook, ba'asham. So he's going to be chayiv a karban asham. And then the last permutation, socher ba'asham v'shoel b'chatos. Sometimes the socher is going to be chayiv an asham, and the shoel is chayiv b'chatos. How so? Kiyon shenignava v'amru mesa kedarka. It really was stolen, and they're lying and they're saying mesa kedarka. So socher d'mechayev b'gneva veda. A socher, if we knew what really happened, that it was stolen, he'd be chayev. A socher is chayev in gneva v'aveda. And yet, v'kapater nafshe b'mesa kedarka. And he lied and tried to get himself off out of the payment by saying mesa kedarka. So ba'asham, he's going to be chayev a karban asham because his lie was impactful. Shovel de benkach u benkach. But a shoel, it doesn't matter whether it's gnei v'aveda, mesa kedarka, he's chayiv no matter what. So his lie didn't help him anyway. His lie was not impactful at all. B'chatas. So he is going to be chayiv a karban chatas. So those are the four cases. So Tosos just points out in the top Tosos, socher de mechayiv b'gnei v'aveda, the Gemara takes it as a given, that a socher is chayiv and gnei v'aveda. Is that so obvious that a socher is chayiv and gnei v'aveda? Or is it machlokas, whether a socher has a din of a shomer sachar, or a socher has a din of a shomer chinam? If a socher has a din of a shomer sachar, then yeah, he's chayiv and gnei v'aveda. But if he has a din of a shomer chinam, he's pater and gnei v'aveda. So the Gemara assumes, doesn't even mention that it's an issue, just assumes, yeah, of course, the socher is chayiv and gnei v'aveda. Says Tosfos, mikan yishlochiach, da'alaka k'man di'amar de'socher k'shomer sachar dami. So our Gemara is an indication that we must paskin, if the Gemara takes it for granted, that a socher has a din of a shomer sachar, v'chein mukhbar. He says there are many places in Shas where the Gemara assumes this way, where the Gemara assumes that a socher is din of shomer socher. So even though it is a machlokas, the general assumption in Shas is that that's how we paskin. Says Gemara, my kamashmalin. The last 20 lines of Gemara, we could have plugged it in ourselves. It doesn't seem to be teaching us any additional chiddush. We know the whole Gemara could be summarized in that one line where we said kfiras mamon asham. When you're taking a shavua that's going to get you out of payment, you're chayiv an asham. If it's not going to get you out of payment and you lie, you're chayiv a chata. So what's the whole chiddush over here? Says Mar Lafuki mit Rabbi Ami. It's coming to tell us not to paskin like Rabbi Ami. The Amar Kol Shavua Shadayal Mashvirin Osa Ein Chayav Mala Mishum Shavuz Bitoish. Number O Nefesh Si Shava Levate Besfasayim. Rabbi Ami thought that you're only chayiv v'chatos or bitur svasayim when you chose to take the shvua. But if Beis Din forced you to take the shvua, then you would not be chayiv a karban chatos. So we're coming to say that even though Beis Din is mechayiv these shvuos, nevertheless they're still going to be a chayiv chatos. Kamash Milan, delok Rabbi Ami. That's the idea that we're coming to teach against Rabbi Ami. That even though one has not volunteered these shvuos were mandated by Beis Din, he's still going to be chayiv a karban chatos for these shvuas. Now we said that the case of Shneim Bechatas is that it was Mesa Kedarka, and they claimed that it was an onus, so it wasn't going to help them anyway. The socher was pater no matter what. The shovel was chayiv no matter what. So it sounds like if it's Mesa Kedarka and they say that it was an onus, it's not a kfiras mamon at all, and that's why the chayiv Bechatas not an asham. Asks the Ritva, you know, there is a difference between Mesa Kedarka and Ones. He says, if they say that it was Mesa Kedarka, the Mafkid would be able to take the carcass. He would be the one that's able to get back the Nevela. Whereas Ne'ensa, the Mafkid doesn't get anything. If you say that there was a total Ones and it's gone, you know, it fell over a pier into the ocean, it's gone. We don't have, so then the Mafkid wouldn't get anything. So Ilchor, it is a Kfiras Mafkid. If really it was Mesa Kedarka, and I'm saying that it was an onus, so I, how can you say I'm not being kofer mamon? Because granted, I may not have to pay for anything if I'm the socher, but I would have to give you back the carcass, and now I don't have to give you back the carcass. So the Ritva asks that kasha, how can you say that's not a kfiras mamon? The Ritva suggests that it must be that there is saying that it was Mesa Kedarka and the nevel is worth $0, that's what happened, or that they said as soon as it was Mesa, it was Nafal Benahar, the nevel is not here. Somehow the nevel disappeared after it was Mesa Kedarka. That's the only way we can make it that it's not a Chiyuv Mamon. Tosfos just points out this La Fuke Mid Rabbi Ami is also a little bit not unusual, but the Gemara could have said better. The Gemara could have said that there's another Shita that it's coming La Afuke. Just like the Gemara says that it's La Afuke Rabbi Ami, who holds that you're only Chayev Shuas Bito when Beis Din was when you took it on your own, not when Beis Din was Mechayev you. We could have also said that Rabbi Yirmi is coming to teach us La Afuke Mishmuel, because Shmuel holds the Masech Shvuos and Daf Chavhei that you're only Chayev a carbon for Shvuos Bitoy if it's something that's a shvua that would make sense, bein l'sha'avar, bein l'haba. Shvuos Bitoy is, you know, I ate a loaf of bread, I will eat a loaf of bread. I'm in control of both of the future as well. I can take such a shvua that I will eat a loaf of bread. I cannot take a shvua that you will eat a loaf of bread. I can take a shvua that you did, but in order to be chayv shvuas bito, it has to be the kind of thing that could be said about bein l'sha'avar, bein l'haba. That is the shita of Shmuel. Now this shvua doesn't fit that criteria, because what's the shvua? Ne'ensa, an ones happened. I can take a shvua that an ones will happen? Nah, I can't do that. So l'chora, according to Shmuel, you wouldn't be chayev echatas anyway over here because of for shvuas bitoy, because this just doesn't fit the criteria of shvuas bitoy. So that's what tells us bothered. Why don't we say that it's coming la'afuke midr Shmuel as opposed to saying that it's coming la'afuke midrabi Ami? Okay, so that's the issue the Rishonim discuss. Says Gemara Vayter now, new discussion. Itmar shomer shamasa l'shomer. In general, whenever you're entrusted with an item and you give it to somebody else to watch, is that do you bear responsibility for what happens to it? Rav Amar Pater, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. Rav says you Pater, you didn't do anything wrong. You gave it to someone else who's trustworthy to watch, and that's perfectly fine. And Rabbi Yochanan says no, you're Chayev. You had no business to give it to someone else. Amar Abaye L'taime De Rav. According to Rav, it's not only when you upgraded the Shemira by giving it by you were a Shomer Chinam and now you're giving it to a Shomer Sachar, so you've upgraded the Shemira, that of course you're going to be Pater because you've done even better. Even if you downgraded the Shemira, you were a Shomer Sachar and you gave it to a Shomer Chinam, even then you're going to be Pater, because at my time of the Masul Ben Das, because at the end of the day you gave it to someone who's trustworthy. So you did a reasonable shmira of it by giving it to a trustworthy person who knows how to guard over something. Now, why is it considered an upgrade when you're a shomer chinam and you give it to a shomer sachar? So Tosfos Rosh says it's not because a shomer chinam is going to be pater and gnev aveda, and now you've given it to someone who's chayev and gnev aveda. It's not about the chiyuvei mamon, because then the Gemara should have said even a shomer sachar that gives to a shomer chinam, where he's grew a gar l'shmirasa, where what? That it's not going to be a chiv and gnev aveda? Not true. The chiv gnev aveda would still exist when a shomer chinam gives it to when a shomer sachar gives it to a shomer chinam. Meaning, if I'm a shomer sachar, Shachar and I give it to a Shomer Chinam, and then it's Nignav and Eved, I'm still on the hook. I'm still going to be Chayv and Gnevav Aveda. So that it wouldn't fit the whole flow of the Gemara that I've downgraded. I haven't downgraded. I'm still going to be Chayv and Gnevav Aveda. So that's what the Tosa Rosh says. It's not about the Chiyuvim per se. It's about, since there is an elevated expectation when you're a Shomer Sachar, the Shomer is going to be Moser Nefesh for it a little bit more. He's going to watch it more carefully. So it's an elevation in the actual Shmira. It's not an elevation in the Chiyuv Mamon of the Shmira, and the same by the degradation. If a Shomer Sachar gives it to a Shomer Chinam, he's giving it to someone who's going to watch it less. So That's the shita of Rav. So says Gemara, the time of Rabbi Yochanan, the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, lomi bayi shomer. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is one that said that you're chayiv when you give it to another shomer. Lomi bayi shomer sach shemaso the shomer chinam degree regardless shmirah. So you don't even need to say that when you downgrade the shmirah that you're going to be chayiv. Elafilu shomer chinam shemaso the shomer sach dili aylo the shmirah so chayiv. Even when you upgraded the shmirah, you're going to be chayiv. Damalei in ritzoni shei pikdoni biyadacher, because he could say, I'm not interested in having my pikadon by somebody else. I don't care that that's somebody else maybe is taking on more responsibility than you ever took on. I don't want my pikadon by somebody else. So different Rishonim understand that line differently. What does it mean? I don't want my pikadon by somebody else. Tosfos in Dibur HaMaskel Ein Ritzon Shei Pikdon, he understands that it's as if he said to him at the time that he gave him the pikadon, that if you give it to someone else, I'm considering that negligence. And you therefore become chayiv on anything that happens to it, because you can't assume anything once it's in somebody else's house. You take on certain responsibilities in your own house, but in somebody else's house, you have to be responsible for everything. So that's the way Tosfos understands. The Ravid is quoted in the Chidushim Yuchasim L'Ritva and the Shittum Kubetzes, that the reason is because he could say, maybe the mazel of the second Shomer was worse than your mazel, and something happened to it, and the mazel in his house wouldn't have happened in your house, because he has bad mazel. Maybe he didn't have his mezuzah checked or something, and his mazel is bad mazel, so I just don't want it in the other guy's house, regardless of how much mesiras nefesh he's going to have to protect it properly. So whatever the svara might be, but that's the idea, that I'm not interested in shei piktoni biyad acher. Now, on the first side of it, on the Rav side of things, we said even a shomer sacha that gives to a shomer chinam, where he downgrades the shmira, he's still going to be pater, according to Rav. There's machlokes rishonim in what way that's considered a downgrade of the shmira. Rashi says that the first shomer would be pater from everything that he would have been pater from anyway. So it's from Rashi, it sounds like it's only if it's an ones by the second guy. So the first shomer is pater, just like he would be pater if it was an ones by him. But if it gets stolen by the second guy, even though he's a shomer chinam and he should be pater on gnev aveda, meaning the second guy is a shomer chinam, is pater on gnev aveda, the first guy who's a shomer sachar is still going to have to pay for that, right? Meaning, if I'm a shomer sachar and I accepted the responsibilities of a shomer sachar, then I gave it to a shomer chinam, and then it's nigra v'neved. Yeah, he may be part of gnev aveda, but I'm still going to be chayev on gnev aveda. So gruy garlish shmirasa. That's what the Ritva says. Even though the bailim doesn't lose out, it's still considered a gira on the shmira. It's still considered a downgrade of the shmira, like we pointed out before. However, not all the rishonim agree with that. Some of the rishonim are of the opinion that when we say that it's gruy garlish the shmira, so it actually does downgrade the shmira, meaning when I'm a shomer sachar and I gave it to a shomer chinam, now any gnev aveda that happens, we're both pater, we're both off the hook. So that is an actual giraun of the shmira, that I'm also going to be pater. The Ritva says, how could that possibly be? How could that possibly be true? The Ritva is bothered by this shita and rishonim. I'm a shomer sachar, which means I'm taking upon myself responsibility for gnev aveda. All I have to do to get rid of that responsibility, just pass it off to a shomer chinam, give it off to someone and say, do me a favor, watch it. And then I'm exempt from that responsibility of gnev aveda. Very difficult to understand. But that is a shita and rishonim like that, that we assume that's true. Now, what was the svara of Rava? Why am I exempt when I give it to another shomer? Ah, you gave it to a bendas. You gave it to someone that could be trusted. So apparently, the machlokas is when the first shomer gives it to the second shomer, is that considered pshia? According to Rav, that's not being negligent. I gave it to someone who could be trusted. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's considered to be negligence because I don't want someone else watching and I want you to watch it. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, How do I know that that's what the machlokas is about? That Rav holds that it's not called a pshia. Maybe Rav holds it is called a pshia to give it to someone else, and I'm still going to be pater, because maybe he holds that chasu b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is pater. It's a big shas sugya. If I do something that's negligence, and then what happens to make it become lost, to make it become destroyed, is not a direct result of my negligence. Something that's an ones that could have happened. That's an ones. So that I had no way to be shomer it from. So maybe Rav just holds chasu b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is pater. So maybe it is negligence to give to that shomer. But what happened by that shomer? An ones happened by that shomer. So maybe I'm going to be pater. So Rabbi Kivyeger says, no, it sounds like the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is not only if it's an ones, even if it was regardless whether it's listed mezuyin or an ones misa, and mesa kedarka, even if you say chasu b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is pater, when you see later on that mesa kedarka you can be chayev for. So that's why, says Rabbi Kivyeger, the Gemara would rather not assume that we're not going to assume that this is really all about chasu b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. Amar Rav Chisda, Had Rav Lav Beferishit Marela Machlala. Whenever the Gemara says Rav never really directly expressed this idea that Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer is Pater. We just sort of figured it out from a case that came to Rav. Whenever the Gemara says something like that, that Machlala, that he never said it directly, the Gemara is trying to say maybe we misunderstood. Meaning our statement that Rav holds Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer is Pater, we thought that's what he held based on what happened. It's possible we misunderstood. So here's what happened. There were certain gardeners that used to always trust a certain woman to watch their things for them. One day they didn't ask the old lady to watch the things for them. They asked one of the group to watch for everybody else, to watch the items for everybody else. He remembered he was invited to a wedding, and during the time that he was supposed to be watching for everybody else, and he wanted to go to the wedding. So what's he going to do? He can't leave the items unguarded. So he gave it to the same old woman that they always trusted to watch, and he said, do me a favor, watch these items for all of us. When he came back, it was all stolen, it was all gone. Asal came to Rav, so he came to Rav. He wanted to know, do I have to pay for this? I'm a shomer, shemaser l'shomer, upatre. And Rav said, pater. So that's the case. So man dechaza, sovr mishum shomer, shemaser l'shomer, pater. The one who saw that said, you see, Rav holds shomer, shemaser l'shomer is pater, because Rav says that he's off the hook over here. Velohi, but maybe we misunderstood. Maybe shiny asim to call yamanami inu gufayu gabad deyisafta avamafkadilu. Maybe it's different because the person that he gave, the whole reason say shomer, shemaser l'shomer is chayiv is because the original owner could say, I don't want Shei Piktoni Biad Acher, I don't trust that other person to have my Pikadon. But here was a case that you know that this is a person that they trust. You know that this is a person they give it to all the time. So maybe that's why you're a Pater. But maybe really in general, if you stamp pick your own Shomer that they had never trusted before, that the Bailim had never trusted before, maybe in a Chinami, even Rav would say that you're going to be Chayiv. When the Rambam quotes Salach in the first paragraph of Chesir, Salach Adalid, he writes, L'fichach im ha'yederach ha'bailim la'hafkid tamid, he could say, if you gave it to this guy yesterday, so I know that you trust this guy. So the Marivayil in the Tshuva writes, why does the Rambam have to say tamid, that they always give it to this guy? Sounds like if it was only once in a while, that's not a good enough excuse. It's not a good enough exemption. It has to be something tamid, that is constantly given. How do we define tamid? Not exactly sure. Because the Mishnah disagrees anyway. He says, no, even if it only happened once in a while they believe this old lady or the second shomer, still you're going to be part from paying. The Rambam says tamid either because it's a lavdavka, it's just our Gemara said, kol yom anami yinu gufayu gabad yisafta. So he used a lashon that's similar to the Gemara of kol yom. So tamid means kol yom, but it doesn't have to be kol yom. Or the Rambam is maybe saying, as opposed to a case where you were only mafkid by that person under extreme circumstances, under extreme duress, where you really had no other option. No, so he says tamid to mean that even if it wasn't an extreme case, it's just someone that you actually trust, that this is a person that you actually trust. Kesef Mishnah though says, but there's another deal to be made in the Rambam. Not the word tamid, there was something else critical in the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? L'fichach im ha'yederach ha'vayim la'afkid tamid, davar zeh eitzel ha'shomer ha'sheni. Why does the Rambam have to say davar zeh etzel hashomer hasheni? That I always trust the shomer to watch this thing. Maybe the Rambam is telling us a different chiddush. That let's say I know that these gananim always trust this safta, this old lady, to watch item A, but they have never yet trusted her to watch item B. And the guy gives the old lady item B to watch. The Shomer Rishon gives her item B to watch. So that he can't say, no, I know you trust this old lady. No, maybe they only trust this old lady to watch these things, not to watch those things. So that's Dover Zeh, says the Kesem Mishnah. If you want to make a diuk in the Rambam, it's not in the word Tamid, it's in the word Dover Zeh. So that's the diuk of the Kesem Mishnah. The Kesem Mishnah wonders, why should it make a difference? If you trust him for item A, shouldn't it mean that you just trust? Isn't it about the trustworthiness of the person? Well, why does it really matter what the item is? So he says, maybe the diuk's not so great. Maybe he's not really being mechalik between davar zeh and dvar macherim. When he says davar zeh, he means the something that's worth that amount of money. Meaning, I trust him on, but it doesn't make a difference what the physical item is. It's just a general price range that you trust the woman with this type of item, with this price range. Maybe that's what davar zeh is teaching me, that it's only with this in this price range, but it doesn't have to be this exact item. Yosef Rabbi Yami becoming the lash meiter. Rabbi Yami was saying over this machlokas. So the Gemara tried to bring rayas. Esfi Rabbi Avraham Amar LeRabbi Ami. So Rabbi Avraham Amar asked Rabbi Ami the following: Hasochar Parah Mechaver Rabbi Shilu LaAcher. Someone rents a cow and then he lends it out to someone else. Umesa Kedarka. And it dies kedarka. Yishava Hasochar Shemekes Kedarka. Vashol Meshalim LaSochar. The Socher just has to swear that it's Mesa Kedarka, and then he doesn't have to pay anything, and the Shol is going to pay the Socher. But v'imisa, but if it's true that a shomer shemasul shomer is chayiv leimalei ein ritzon shepik doni biyad acher, meaning from Yochanan is really correct, then the socher shouldn't get off the hook by just saying that, oh, don't worry, he's mesa kedarka, now I don't have to pay anything. No, you're a shomer shemasul shomer, of course you have to pay something. Samalei hachem eskin kishnaslo rishus lahashil, that it has to be that it's not shomer b'alim rishus lahashil, that the original owner gave him permission to lend. So then normally shomer shemasul shomer is chayiv, but not when you have explicit permission. Ihachi fracting mara le then the payment should go, if I gave you permission to lend out the item that I'm renting to you, so then I'm making you my shliach to lend it out, and therefore when the borrower has to pay, you should have to pay the original owner, you shouldn't pay the socher. So he's saying, no, you can do whatever you want with it, you can lend it out to whoever you want to lend it out to, but that's your own business, meaning the bailim is being mesalik himself from any future deals that the socher is going to have. So now the Gemara tries the second right. Masav Rabbi Merchama Hamafkin Malseitz Al Chaveiro. Someone entrusts somebody else with money. Saran Vivshin LaAchorav. He wraps up in a bag and he puts it over his shoulder behind him, which is a terrible way to watch something because he could easily be pickpocketed. Masav the Benol Bito Kedarim, where he gives it to his under Barabbas Mitzvah children to watch. Vinal Bifneim Shalok Harali, or he doesn't lock it up properly. Chayiv Shalok Shomer Kedarach Hashomrim. He's going to be chayiv because he didn't do a proper job of shmira. Time into Ketanim. So it sounds like the only reason he's chayiv is because he gave it to kids. Hagadolim, but if he gave it to his older kids, then Potter, he'd be Potter. Amai, name a later Ritzon Shebik, don't be Adacher. Shouldn't he be able to say, I don't want my Pikadon to be entrusted to anybody else? You're a Shomer, Shemasul, a Shomer. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he should be chayiv in that case. So how can we have this deal? Where it sounds like he's only Potter because he gave it to little kids, but he had given it to older kids, he'd be chayiv. He's only chayiv because he gave it to little kids, but I had given it to all the kids, he'd be Potter. Ah, he's a Shomer Shemasul Shomer. Amar Rava, so I said, no, he's not a Shomer Shemasul Shomer. Kala Mafkid, Aldas Ishto Obanav, Hu Mafkid. Whenever you give a Pikadon to anybody, you understand that the Pikadon is not only being entrusted with the person who's watching it, it's his wife and his children and whoever else has access to his household. So the Machlokas Rishonim, in this case where you gave it to Ishto Obanav, what happens if Ishto Obanav were Poshaya? Do you say that he's still Potter if they were negligent in the way they watched it? Tosos holds that if they're Poshea, then the Shomer does have to pay. Because otherwise, anytime you have a Shmira on anything, the wife could just come and be Poshea and destroy the whole thing, and then you're not going to have to pay for anything. The Rambam, however, says that no, the original Shomer is still Potter, even if Ishto Ubanav were Poshea. So the Stipler explains, what's the Machlokas about? According to Tosos, the giving to the second Shomer is not considered a shmira. The second guy is able to not watch. The ishto banav don't have to watch it. The second one is considered that when the ishto banav are watching it, it's as if the original shomer is watching it. His shmira still stands, and therefore any pshius that happens, he's going to be chayev for. But the Rambam holds that giving it to a ben das is itself a proper shmira. So the fact that my children are adults or my wife is responsible, I did a proper shmira. So it's as if I locked it up really well. So even if that person is poshea, I've done my proper shmira, even if they subsequently were poshea. Aminar dai deka nami. We have another raya. The katani, it says osha masun lebno bito katanim chayiv. If you give it to bno bito katanim, you're chayiv. Hal lebno bito gadolim pater. But if you give it to bno bito gadolim, you'd be pater. Mechlal de la acherim. But that makes it sound like that's all because it's your children. But if it were other people, lo shna gadolim lo shna katanim chayiv. No matter who they are, you're going to be chayiv. Exactly like Rabbi Yochanan says. Dim kain listen katanim stama. Because if there was no difference between your children and other people, why does it have to give an example of b'no bito ketanim? Let it just say you gave it to ketanim, you're going to be chayiv. The fact that it says b'no bito tells you that there's something different about your children, members of your household, versus somebody else. So that's what you see is a raya that giving it to a member of the household is all part of the shmira. Shema mina. So Gemara accepts that raya. It's a question in poskim, what about a housekeeper? You know, you have house help. Is it an assumption that everybody in your household is now being trusted and that's part of the shmira? Or is it no, that it's only family members that are being trusted? Pashtus is anyone that's in the household. Amar Rabbi, Hilksa Shomer Shemasa Shomer Chayiv. Lomba Yishomer Sach Shemasa Shomer Chinu Degroi Garla Shemasa Alfilu Shomer Chinu Shemasa Shomer Sachar Chayiv. My time Adam Lei Ad Me'am Li B'Shvua Heich Lo Me'am Li B'Shvua. So Rabbi says, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, but for a slightly different reason than we said before. We said before that Rabbi Yochanan Shomer Shemasa Shomer is Chayiv because I could say I don't want my pikadon by anybody else. That's not the real reason. The real reason is, if it comes down to it that someone's going to have to take a shavua, I trust you to take a shavua to me. I don't trust the other guy to take a shavua. It's not that I don't trust him to watch the item. I trust him to watch the item, but at a certain point there may be a chiyuv shavua, and I don't trust him to say a shavua. Itmar pasha b'avias la'agam. Let's say you were poshea in the animal, and then it went out to an agam umesa gadarka, and it died naturally. Abai mishmei de rabba amar chayiv. Rava mishmei de rabba amar pater. They both said in the name of rabba. One of them said chayiv, the other one said pater. So Rabbi Yaakov Em says, so who's lying? They're both saying in the name of Rabba. So he says one of them must have been at the second shear when Rabba changed his mind, and the other one wasn't at the second shear when Rabba changed his mind. That's what the Gemara in Beitza says. Lol mal yimna adamasim beis hamedrash. You should never miss shear because you never know when the Rebbe is going to change his mind, and you're going to miss out on what the maskana is. Abai mishmeid Rabba merchayev kaldayin adoldan ki aidina lav dayanahu. And anyone who doesn't pass like me doesn't know what he's doing. Lomi by the man yam tchasu b'shivus of bonus chayev de chayev. Not only if you generally hold tchasu b'shivus of bonus is chayev. Certainly, you're going to be chayiv in this case. I'll feel man yomer potter hacha chayiv. Even if you generally hold your potter on tchas b'shiv v'sav bonus, over here you're going to be chayiv. My taima, damrin havel di agam ktala. It wasn't a total onus. It was the hevel, the thick air of the agam that killed it. Had you locked it up, it wouldn't have been exposed to that atmosphere. Rav mishmei rabba amar potter. Rav says no. I think you're potter in this case. Kol dain adlodon ki adina lav dayanu. And anyone who says otherwise doesn't know what he's doing. Lo mi by the madiam tchas b'shiv v'sav bonus potter de potter. Not only if you generally hold b'shivus of bonus, you pater, that you're for sure going to be pater. Ela filu man yamar chayiv hacha pater. But even if you say generally b'shivus of bonus is chayiv, this is going to be pater. This is better. My taima, why is this better? Damrin and malachamavis maliacha umaliasam. Because you say, well, the malachamavis got it wherever it was. The malachamavis was going to get it. It doesn't make a difference if it was there or if it was here. Poskim discuss if a person, let's say, requires a dangerous operation, a very ill person, and he takes a plane trip to America to come get an operation. Does he say Gomel? Does he bench Gomel? His life is still in jeopardy. Does he say Birchsa Gomel? So some have a svara. Malach Hamavis, Malihach Malihasam, if his life is still in jeopardy. Umodi Abayi di Hajjal Beimara, Umesa Depater. And Abayi agrees that if it ever went back to the original owner and it dies there, then it's going to be Pater. My Taima, Ta Hajjala, Veleka Lameimara, Havla Di Agam Akatla, because it went back, so you can't say that the Hevel of the Agam killed it. Umodi Rav, Kalecha Digim Ganav Ba'agam, Umesa Kedarka, Beganav Dechai. That if it was stolen from the agam and it died by the ganav's house, it's going to be chayiv. My taima, the yishavka malachamavus based on the ganav havakaima. Because even if the malachamavus would not have gotten it, you still wouldn't have had it back. It would have been still stuck in the house of the ganav. So Bez Hashem will pick up with this conversation. I'm Le'abaye tomorrow. Good l'chaydesh.